Part 1. Chapter 1. Dadaab. James Thompson's voice rose again.
There are people who say we can't do anything about this. Americans who say that. That we should let these Africans fend for themselves, starve for themselves. That they did it to themselves by having so many kids, that we can't afford to help them. You know what I say to that?
Tell me, Paula Hutchins said. They were in Thompson's office at WorldCare's headquarters at Dadaab. Like the rest of the compound, the room was unadorned, the furniture simple and thrifty. A poster behind Thompson showed a black girl running hand in hand with a white boy.
I say letting kids starve is not in keeping with our principles. And I'm not afraid to tell you it's racist. If these children had white skin and not black, you think anyone would be saying, let them die? Let me tell you, we've forgotten how lucky we are. Even worse, we've forgotten the duties, the obligations that come with that luck.
Thompson stopped speaking. He leaned forward in his chair, stared at Hutchins like he could see through her. Hutchins had only met Thompson a few hours before, but already she was getting used to that look. The man had presence. Thompson was in his late 40s, with broad shoulders and thick lips and meaty hands. He wasn't tall, but his bulk made him formidable. He looked like a bailiff, or a pit boss. When he got excited, he spread his hands and raised his voice. He sounded like an old-time preacher. In reality, as he told Hutchins, he came from a family of railroad workers. He ran World Cares Children First as a secular organization, no proselytizing allowed.
We're here to feed the hungry and help the sick. We look after their bodies. Their souls are their own business as far as I'm concerned.
Hutchins could already see that James Thompson would star in her feature on the aid groups in Dadaab, fine by her. She was a reporter for the Houston Chronicle. Normally she covered the mayor, but the paper had reached into its not-so-deep pockets to send her on a 10-day reporting trip to Kenya. Roy Hunter, the Chronicle's publisher, had taken an interest in Dadaab after his daughter read a book about Somali refugees. Every few months, Hunter called the paper's editor and demanded a series on something that had caught his attention. Deep-sea fishing in the Gulf, the potential for hypersonic passenger jets, Houston to Hong Kong in 2 hours, it's possible. The editor knew better than to argue with the man whose name graced his paycheck. He looked for a plausible excuse to send a reporter to Kenya and found it in World Cares and other Texas-based aid organizations working in Dadaab. Now Hutchins was working on a series tentatively called Texans with Heart. It had been Texans Who Love the World, until Hutchins pointed out that the title sounded like a bad porn movie. She couldn't claim to know much about the issues over here, but she'd done some research on World Cares before she'd come over. The group had grown a lot in the last few years. After meeting Thompson, she saw why. He leaned forward now, lasered in on her with those blue eyes.
What do you think, Miss Hutchins?
He had a slight southern accent that took the edge off his ferocity. She hated when sources tried this tactic. Reporters didn't have much going for them anymore. Her job security and prestige had evaporated years before. But she still had the privilege of asking the questions, not answering them.
About what? About this, all of it.
I'm a reporter. My job was to tell your story. In any case, I just got here.
With all due respect, ma'am, that's a bunch of junk. People look to you for advice. They want the newspaper to tell them what to think.
I've never noticed that, Mr. Thompson, though the idea does have a certain appeal.
I'm not joking. I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm publishing a book next spring called The Children Will Lead. I want the world to know it's a crime to let these people suffer. And I'm not saying do everything for them. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying work with them, build something together.
I get it. Her digital tape recorder beeped. She decided to bring the interview to a close, for now, anyway. She had a feeling that Thompson wasn't done talking and might never be.
I'd like to see a little bit of the camp itself today, if that's possible. You know, since I got here this morning, I've hardly seen a refugee.
Today may not work. We don't like to send people out late in the afternoon for security reasons. But tomorrow morning, sure.
Thompson settled back in his chair.
And you'll still be here when my nephew and our other interns get back, right?
When will that be?